Thank you, Kings. That really goes well with the message tonight. Good evening. Are you glad to be in church? Are you able to breathe? I'm at 50%. I do have the flu. My family's been down with this plague all week long. Yeah, the good news is I will no longer be contagious about after 8 o'clock tonight. That is good news. That's really good news. I'm not offended if you don't want to shake my hand. You might not want to. It's like shaking a New England Patriots fan's hand. Yeah. As the sickness is getting close to the end, we do get happier every day, just like we watched the Patriots lose yesterday. Amen to that. That's something Lisa and I can agree on. Amen. All right, so you're going to have to forgive if I have to take a swig every once in a while from my bottle of water, or if I have to blow my nose. Is that okay? You're not going to look at me too funny? You will? Okay. What did I do with my Bible? I put it down here with my water. Oops. Okay. It's been a long week. Long week. Tonight, I want to preach to you a sermon that I guess I would qualify or quantify it as a Christmas message wrapped or spackled with a little bit of a New Year's message with it as well. And but I confess to you that though this is a Christmas message, it doesn't feel Christmas-like. It would be like having Christmas in July. It just doesn't mix. You may watch all your Hallmark movies during the summer that are Christmas, you know, but it doesn't make sense. All right, you want to get a tan in the summer. You want to get frostbitten at Christmas time. It goes together. There was a book written by John Grisham called Skipping Christmas, which was about a couple named Luther and Nora, and their daughter went to Africa to serve in the Peace Corps. And so she was going to miss the Christmas season, and they surely didn't want to celebrate without their daughter. So Luther had this great idea that they would just skip Christmas. And the more they thought about it, it made sense. Why spend all that money invested into all the Christmas thrills when you could go on a vacation on a cruise? And so they intended to skip Christmas, but not just the day, but they wanted to skip the whole season. So no Christmas caroling, no giving to the hospital, no putting Frosty up on the roof, no Christmas Eve party with friends. And of course, the community pushes back because, I mean, how could you skip Christmas? And I love the Christmas season. How many of you have yet to take down your Christmas tree? Oh, yeah. I have a hard time getting the Christmas closure in my system. And so I'm hesitant to give it back. So I'm excited to speak to you a kind of a Christmas message. But I confess, it's not in a Christmas setting. And when you think about Christmas, you're thinking Mary, Joseph, the world to be taxed. They got to go down to Bethlehem. But the first message of the coming Messiah about the virgin birth was given to a man, an unrepentant sinner. His name was Ahaz. He was the king over Judea. And this Christmas message came to this man at a time of war. So let me invite you to go and look at this passage with me in Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah 7 is where we're going to find our Christmas message tonight. I want you to look at verse number 10. It says, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying..." By the way, that's a really important verse, and that's a really comforting verse, because here we find the Lord reaching out to a notorious sinner, a man who was hesitant to listen to the prophet of God, hesitant to do what's right and to worship God according to the Bible. Yet God was willing to move heaven and earth to reach this man. And that's a real comfort, because God's moved heaven and earth to reach you as well. So moreover, the Lord spoke unto us, but he spoke unto Ahaz saying this, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." So in other words, this is a rare occasion when God is coming to a man. He's already given him his word. He's given him a very good promise that he would be successful if he would just trust him. Yet he was going to go another step further and say, "Now listen, if you want confirmation, you want validation that I'm going to take care of things, ask me a sign. Whatever you want, as high as the heavens, as all the way to the lowest of the depths of the earth, whatever it is, Ahaz, I'm willing to do it. I don't recall another time in the Bible where God has just moved the boundaries a little bit further just to reach an unrepentant sinner. I mean, hopefully God's not going to have to do that to you in 2020. Hopefully you will believe His word. Hopefully you will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you today in this year. But God still wants to reach every one of us, including notorious sinners like Ahaz. Ahaz, by the way, Ahaz, in my opinion, was the worst king the nation of Judah had ever had. Okay, he was, as far as we know, an unrepentant man. I believe he's probably spending eternity away from God in a place called hell because he never turned to the Lord. Now, Manasseh, his grandson, really bad guy, but he repented of his sins. Ahaz, he didn't repent of his sins. He was a foolish man. Ahaz sacrificed his own son to the god of Moloch. Did you know that? Over in the Valley of Hinnom, where they would toss over dead things and burn the heap and the trash. It was the place of Gehenna, the place of hell, right there visually, right there in front of the people. Ahaz sacrificed his own son. He served the god Moloch. Moloch was a big idol, and if you wanted to sacrifice your child, you put it on the arms of Moloch that was heated up. They would literally burn their children alive. All around this worship time, they would have these drums beating really loud to suppress the cries. That's what Ahaz was worshiping. Really bad guy. Yeah, God's coming to reach this man. And verse number 12, it says, but Ahaz said, okay, so he got this great offer to ask him any sign to, you know, validate belief in God. And Ahaz says, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, on the surface, that sounds it has a lot of piety behind it. And it sounds like maybe this man was a holy man. I mean, now Jesus said, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. So even God's given us his word, and Jesus had visually manifested himself right there in front of people, and the Pharisees said, give us a sign. And Jesus says, I'm not going to give this generation a sign except for the sign of Jonah. All right, the word of God is sufficient for us. So generally speaking, it's not good for you to ask a sign, but if God gives you that opportunity, you better take it. And here Ahaz says, nope, not going to do it. I don't want to tempt the Lord. Verse number 13 says, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, ye, second person plural. So he's speaking to more than just Ahaz. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Here Isaiah is speaking of God's patience being tested. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The angel gave an interpretation to Mary and Joseph in the New Testament that name interpreted is God with us. And my friends, I can't think of a better message to speak on at the beginning of 2020, a time where it's going to get a little scary. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. Hey, it's an election year. Hey, it was trending on Twitter. World War III already. Hey, we could be living in some scary days, but I can't think of a better thing to put my mind to meditate on, than to know that Emmanuel is with us. Let's talk about the gift of Emmanuel. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for bringing yourself to this world and living the life we never could. That immaculate conception, this intrinsic choice of always choosing righteousness, that's Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from my sins. Thank you for moving heaven and earth just to reach me. If there's someone here that needs to be reached tonight to get saved, I pray that they would come to Emmanuel. And Lord, for all of us that claim you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would strengthen us this year. Lord, that we could be living in some scary days. We may feel trapped like Ahaz. We may be facing some enemies. We already have one, which is the devil. Lord, but we could take comfort that you are the victor and that you are with us. May you get all the glory in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and God's people said. Amen. Could you imagine if you got a knock at your door, you open that door, and standing right outside your door was one of the richest men in the world, Jeff Bezos. He says, hey, can I come in? And you said, sure, come on in. And you take him over to the dining room, and he sits at the table, and he brings out his laptop, and he says, do you know what I do for a living? And you say, yes, you're the owner of Amazon. He said, that's right. And I've come to visit you, and I want you to know I'm coming to bring you a gift. And anything that you want, and no matter how big, no matter how small, I'm going to get it for you. Now, I could go through a tickler file of many things that I would like, you know, like seeing the New England Patriots lose would be up on the top, and man, that prayer was already answered. Hey, I can think of a lot of things, a new car, a new house, better health. I mean, whatever it could be provided. Everybody has a list, okay? I don't care who you are, you got a list. Now, imagine if it was God knocking at your door. He says, can I come in? You say, yes. And he sits at your table and he says, you know who I am? You say, yes, your creator God. And God says, hey, listen, I'm here to strengthen your faith. And I want you to know without a doubt that I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring success in your life. And so you ask for me a sign, and that'll be a validation of your faith. Whatever it is, you ask it. Could you imagine sitting at the table and going, that's a great offer, Lord, but I'm just going to pass. I think I'd pass at that. That's exactly what we find Ahaz doing. I mean, the greatest gift that I can think of, somebody to offer him a sign, he's going to pass it on. Hey, listen, God came to this man to give him hope. He came to this man to give him help at a time that he needed it the most. Hey, listen, the gift of Emmanuel comes, number one, to give us hope for when we're scared. Okay, hope for when we're scared. Because this man was terrified. He was shaken to the core, and he didn't know what to do. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 7. It says that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. In other words, they couldn't get to the capital, but they were attempting to do that. In verse number 2, and it was told in the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. Now, when you see Ephraim in the Old Testament, that's synonymous with the northern 10 tribes of Israel. So understand the context historically. You understand that Israel was a united kingdom under Saul, David, and Solomon. And then it split between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. So now we're into the years of divided kingdom. So Ephraim, or Israel, what was led by Pekah at this time, the son of Remaliah. And he aligned himself with the country of Syria, just north of that, with Rezin. Now, the reason why they did that most likely is because they were trying to push back against the overwhelming new power, which was Assyria. And so they needed to find, you know, teammates to come on the same party. And so they were going to make an alliance. But they didn't feel like Ahaz would support them. So they felt like they needed to put in a puppet king and do a little bit of a regime change. And so they confederated themselves, and then they were going to come and take out Ahaz. And the Bible says that Ahaz, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. I mean, if you can get a sense of this, he was shaken like just like this when your hands are just rocking back and forth. That's exactly the way Ahaz felt. And so God has sent Isaiah to him to give him a sign, to give him a gift of validation of belief that God was going to take care of it all. And the reason that God brought his word is to give him the hope when he's scared. And listen, I can't think of a better thing to feast my mind on other than the Word of God for 2020. Hey, some scary, shaky days are ahead of us. But the only person, the only thing that I want to dwell on is the truth that's from God's Word. And here he came to give him hope, and the purpose of it was to calm his heart. Obviously, their hearts, not just Ahaz, but the rest of the people, I mean, they were shaken up 3 weeks ago. I give you a perfect example of what it means to be so scared like the woods with the wind. 3 weeks ago, you guys were all sitting at home on a Sunday drinking hot cocoa by the fire, and I was in church, okay? And not this church, it was another church. That was when we had the snowstorm. So I was at another church, and we were leaving after the afternoon service, and we were on Highway 56, which is eastbound up to Emporia, and then you hit 35. Have you been on that road? Are you there? Listen, no one's falling asleep tonight. Okay, pastor's a New Year's resolution that less people will sleep in the services. So if I find you sleeping, I'm going to tell on you.
Highway 56, we're going at a moderate speed. I know how to drive in the snow. I lived in Wisconsin and Michigan. I know how to drive in the snow. I just don't trust everybody else in the snow. And so I'm going towards the Emporia area. There's another Nissan headed my way, and he's flying. Sure enough, he loses traction on his tires, and he's fishtailing it all over the place. And his back end swerves right in front of our car. Barely misses, swerves right into the ditch. Let me tell you, we were like the trees with the wind. I mean, we were scared out of our minds. The only reason why I don't believe we hit, I slowed off the pedal to go. This was a very safe move. I was moving a pacifier into the baby's mouth while Jacinda grabbed the steering wheel. It's a very safe maneuver. You can learn it in driver's ed. So we backed off. That's why we're safe. So a screaming baby actually saved my life. But I was scared. I was terrified. Hey, Ahaz is in this situation and he's shaken. And God came to calm him. Hey, listen, God's word, himself is coming to you to give you hope for when you're scared, to calm your nerves. It's interesting. He sends a prophet, Isaiah. He sends an object lesson, which was Isaiah's son. And he also sends a sign, you know, a threefold process to help him calm down. Almost like the Godhead bodily. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is that visual manifestation of God. The Holy Spirit's the indwelling presence of God to confirm and calm our hearts. Shear Jashabub was the son of Isaiah. His name, you know what his name means? A remnant shall return. Interestingly, I believe at this point in time, the Confederacy of Syria and Ephraim had already slaughtered 160,000 people of Judea. In fact, they were exiling people up to the northern tribes until Obed, the prophet, says he came in and rebuked the Israelites, says, you better not do this to God's people. Send them home. And they did. But it was already a mess. So they're sitting outside the capital of Jerusalem, ready to attack Ahaz, and he's scared. But God sends him hope to calm his heart. Number two, to clarify what he's heard. See, he heard that there's this confederacy, but God clarifies, interprets, and gives him an understanding of what's really going on. And God tells him in verse number 4, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, these burning embers, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah. Let's vex it. Let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. So God puts some color rose glasses to help him understand the full situation. This is what you've heard, but I know the beginning from the end. I know it all. I know it all. Hey, when I read the Bible gives a color commentary of what I see in the news. Hey, listen, the news may shake you up. Hey, you might hear about World War III. Hey, the elections may not turn out the way you want. Hey, but it's never caught God by surprise. He told us the end. Hey, put your mind in the book, because God will clarify what you've heard in the world. Number three, God also wanted to confirm who was at the head. Who is at the head? Who's in charge? Oh, look at what he says in verse number 8. He says, for the head of Syria is Damascus, of course. And the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years, at 65 years, shall Ephraim be broken, and it shall not be a people. In other words, that's when Israel, it's over, it's the end. And that was true. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Do you see what he's trying to tell him, trying to get Ahaz to think for himself? Ahaz, don't you understand? Syria. What's the capital of Syria? Damascus. Who's the king in Damascus? Rezin. Israel, Ephraim. What's the capital? Samaria. Who's the king there? Pekah. Judah. Where's your capital? City of God, Jerusalem. And who's in charge of his country and his people? It's God himself. He's in charge. He's at the head of all things. Hey, listen, I'm not going to trust and depend on myself to get through 2020. Hey, I'm not going to take the reins over. Hey, I'm going to yield myself to God and let Him take full control. Let Him rule the capital of my heart because He's at the head. He's at the head of this church. He's the head of this church. He's the head of it all. And when I meditate on that, man, that gives me hope. That gives me hope because there's some scary days ahead. Oh, the gift of Emmanuel came as a way of hope for when we're scared. I see, secondly, it came to help this man stand. And Emmanuel could come into your life to help you stand as well. The whole purpose is stated in verse number 9. If you will not believe, you're not going to be established. In other words, you're not going to stand firm. But God wanted Ahaz to stand firm. God wanted him to be on his own two feet. He wanted to see him succeed. He wanted him to fully trust him. So I see, number one, if you're going to get help, then this, number one, faith is going to be required. Now listen, the truth about God being in charge, Him being God, ruling up in heavens above, hey, the truth about God that one day He's going to rule this world, all the nations for 1,000 years, that's true. He'll still be king whether you accept Him personally or not. But if you want the efficacious power in your life, then you have to exercise faith for yourself. You have to believe if you're going to stand firm. Hey, salvation only comes by faith. Faith alone, and grace alone, and Christ alone. Sola faith, it's required. If you're going to receive help to stand, you may never make it through some of the hard days unless you have Emmanuel. Oh, well, faith is required, but notice with me, number two, a foolish rejection by Ahaz. Foolish, he says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, when you read that, your mouth ought to drop to the floor. I can't imagine anybody not responding to take a sign. Hey, listen, maybe you need some answers from God, and I would encourage you not to just ask for a sign. Generally speaking, I don't think that's a good way of doing things, as I explained earlier. But if God wants to manifest Himself to you, you listen to the voice of the Lord, okay? It makes sense, and here we have a man who had no excuse. He received the Bible. It was in his face, if you will. And he totally pushed God away. Let me tell you, that's sad. It's foolish. It's a temptation. He says, I won't tempt God. He did tempt God by that kind of a response and rejection. You know, I'm afraid to say that there are people that I am praying for currently that I've seen God do some amazing things. He's allowed some very big visual things, visual lessons for them to understand and learn, and they just won't respond. And let me tell you, that's a dangerous place to be when God opens Himself up so wide to you and to say, no, I don't think so. I don't need that. Now the question comes, why would he really say, I don't want a sign? I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? Well, we ought to understand that in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we're told that he'd already sent a letter out to somebody. He sent a letter out to another king to come up and support him. Somebody he thought would really show up and do a big job. You know who that was? Tiglath-Pileser. Oh yeah, what country was he ruling over? Assyria. All the Assyrians, which will exile the northern tribes out in 65 years. Assyria that will be a distress to the nation of Judah for many years to come. Assyria that is a wicked and vile nation. Now they're going to be in charge over God's people. That's who he wanted to help him out. See, there was an angle to play with Ahaz. The reason why he didn't want God is because he felt like he had a better confidence in a man. What a fool! If we get to the point in our lives where we think we can trust a man over God, we are deluded and deceived. Oh, listen, if God's speaking to you, you better be careful about who you're listening to. Who's got your ear? Who's feeding you with lies? It might be time to turn that off, start getting in the book. Because God is Creator God. He's the only one that really cares about you. And he's trying to reach, willing to move heaven and earth to reach an unrepentant man. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. He said, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. Ahaz, the man that sacrificed his own son to Moloch. Ahaz, the man that went up to Damascus later on, went into the worship centers there, and saw all these fabulous altars and these decor, sends back the plans to his idol makers, says, hey, I want you to make that and put it in the temple. Oh, I want you to make this altar. Let's move God's altar to the side. Let's build this one. Because I know, like my grandfather Uzziah, he wasn't able to do his own sacrifices. He had to go to the priest. And so we're going to just bypass that system. Let's build our own altar so we can do our own sacrifices. Let's do that. Move God's stuff aside and let's put in our own stuff. Ahaz. Ahaz. It's amazing, isn't it? So God comes to help this man, but he foolishly rejected it. God, all he required was faith. And then I want you to see, thirdly, it frustrated God. Look at the frustrated response from God. It comes through Isaiah in verse 13, and he says, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for ye to weary men, but ye will weary my God also. Do you realize that God is the God of second chances, but those second chances have a limitation? And they're going to come to an end one day. God is a God of justice as well as mercy. They go hand in hand. He's full of grace and truth. He cannot let sin just sweep under the rug. He has to deal with it. And his wrath is coming before all men, just like Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. And you need to respond and believe and accept Jesus' righteousness for yourself. God got frustrated. Hey, listen, I don't want to test the patience of God in 2020. I want to be very careful that I just don't do what I want to do when it comes to the Amazing Grace Baptist Camp ministry. It's not my ministry, it's God's. Hey, I don't want to be flippant in the way I raise my children. I want to be very careful. I want to be very studious about the education they have. I want to be very careful about the influences from various friends. I want to make sure I'm rearing them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I have to be careful for that because I have to give account to God. I don't want to test his patience. Hey, I want to be quick to get sin out of my life and be submissive to the Holy Spirit. I want to be quick to get my resolves and offenses with other people done fast. Why? Because I don't want to test the patience of God. Hey, God is a good God. He's very long-suffering. He's full of mercy. The goodness of God bringeth men to repentance. But I don't want to exhaust it. Because one day, God could give me up to my vile affections. Hey, God could give you up to your reprobate mind. Hey, God does have an end. And if that's what you're going to, you exhaust it, then fine. You will test the patience of God. Oh, but God wants to help you. So don't exhaust his patience. Respond in faith. You see, the message of Emmanuel was to give us hope for when we're scared. It's to give us help so that we could stand firm. But it also heralds a real Savior, a real deliverer, the hero that the world actually needs. It's in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Look at the description of a real Savior that was going to save the people from Judea, but to also save the rest of the world from a confederacy of sin and the devil. In the real Jesus, number one, he's described this way. He had an immaculate conception. Here, the miracle birth of Jesus is not in the birthing process, but rather in the conception. It was Holy Ghost conceived. You understand it's immaculate? It's not with, it doesn't have any spots or marks or tainting because it was a God thing. It didn't come down through the seed of sinful man. No, he was God conceived. Hey, it's an immaculate conception. That's what makes him a legit hero to save me from my sins, because he's not like you. He's God Almighty. Oh, the immaculate conception. Look at number two, his imminent closeness. Hey, God with us. The word itself is translated that he is with us. And so now we have God up in heaven above coming down in the incarnation to earth with us. I mean, he walked the roads that we walk. I mean, he was tempted in all points like we are. I mean, he actually talked to people. He healed people. I mean, he ate, he drank. He lived on this. He was God visually manifested to us. That's the second person of the Trinity. Hey, listen, that's his imminent closeness. Hey, there's no other God like that. You tell me of some other God that was willing to move heaven and earth just to help see his people get saved. There is no other God. Oh, his imminent closeness, his immaculate conception. Oh, but this is heralding a real Savior because of his intrinsic choices. In verse number 15, it says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and to choose the good. So at this age of accountability, Jesus, the boy, always chose good. He never made a mistake. He always did what was right. He never sinned. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And his perfect life, his righteous living, is something that can be imputed to our accounts when we believe in him. His intrinsic, everything about him is perfect, pure, and holy. That's a real Savior. That's what I need when I'm shaken up. That's what this world needs for deliverance of sin, deliverance from the devil, deliverance from death. The two greatest signs for Jesus, you know what they are? The virgin birth and the resurrection. Because it claims that he is God. Hey, that's a real Savior to talk about. That's what I need for 2020, friends. That's what we all need. Can you think of anything better to think about than to know that God is with us? He indwells us right here. Hey, he's with you every day. There's nothing that will separate you from him. Hey, no perils, no death, no sin, nothing, no creature, nothing could separate you from the love of God. He never made a wrong choice. He never made a wrong choice in choosing me either. And you weren't a mistake. Aren't you glad he chose you? Aren't you glad he's Emmanuel to each and every one of us, even though we don't deserve it? Oh, Emmanuel. Hey, could be God is knocking at the door of your heart today. He says, behold, if any man will hear my voice and let me in, I will sup with him and he with me. It could be God is trying to get inside your heart, to rule at your capital, to be the head of it all again. And he wants you to know that he's with you and that he has the power to deliver you from the greatest trial you could ever face, which is your sin. Whatever you're facing in this life, he's a sufficient God for that. He's got the grace to give it to you. He's never, ever made a mistake. And he loves you. And it doesn't matter how bad you think you are. He was willing to reach Ahaz. And if he's willing to reach Ahaz, my friend, he's willing to reach any of us. Because he loves us. Oh, the gift of Emmanuel. Do you have that gift? Do you have it in 2020? If you don't have it, you need to get it. And all you have to do is believe in him. Believe in him. And hey, Christian, if you're struggling, if you're a little scared, you feel like you're trapped, you got some things that you're facing that you're a little unsure of, hey, God wants you to be reassured that he's in control. He's got it all. He understands the matter from the beginning to the end. He's never let it slide. Whatever's come your way is only because he's allowed it. Because he's a good God. He's a good God and he loves you. Amen? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being Emmanuel. There is no other God like you. There's been no other work from a God like what you've done. And Lord, you're still performing a good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. You are perfect, you're holy, you're full of love, and you're willing to reach the most notorious sinner. You're willing to move heaven and earth to see repentance. I pray that you continue to do a work in this moment of invitation. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you some questions.